Today on Pearls of Great Price, author Veronica Hughes reads passages from the lives and teachings of the saints. She shares her thoughts on each passage's wisdom.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. O Lord, thou shalt open my lips, and my mouth shall declare thy praise. Welcome. This is Veronica Hughes, and this is Pearls of Great Price, and today we have a couple really wonderful gems for you from St. Nikolai Velimirovic and St. Theophan the Recluse, all about sensual judgment, a new term I'm going to talk about that I learned anyway. I don't think it's that new, but it was new for me. And curiosity, the robbers of our communion with God and inner stillness. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. If we were still in paradise, what would be most natural for us would be to turn our minds and hearts towards our Creator. But here we are in the fallen world. Lest we should be lulled to sleep by the world and its temptations, Lent serves to remind us we are fallen. We are being misled, but by what? How, dear Lord, can we be led astray so often? Lent makes this very apparent. How is it that we continually put distance between God and ourselves, all the while thinking, there's nothing amiss, everything is fine? So my research for this podcast started with the term sensual judgment used by St. Nikolai Velimirovic in a passage in the prologue. I pondered its meaning for a few minutes. Sensual judgment was a showstopper for me. I had never thought about judgment being in relationship with sensuality or being based on sensual perceptions. The more I pondered the deeper meaning of sensual judgment, I thought the term was so accurate. I recalled when I was seeped in the New Age and Eastern religions, I thought how I felt and what I perceived through my senses, including my sixth sense, was an accurate perception of reality. However, when I became Orthodox, I realized I had been trapped in my sensual perceptions and far, far away from true spiritual discernment. I was in a state of sensual judgment, for I was using what my senses perceived as my measuring stick for reality, my means of judging what was good. If it felt good, then it must be good, right? Wrong. This was a life-changing understanding for me. What about now? Am I still under the dominion of my senses? You bet. Not as bad. But yes, perhaps I am less captured, but an onion has many layers. So let's take a good look at this onion called sensual judgment and how our senses, fueled by curiosity, imagination, and self-will, can lead us astray and then rob us of our communion with God and inner stillness. So we're going to start with St. Nikolai and what he has to say about the milk of sensual judgment and the gradualness of spiritual development. And for this, he's quoting Hebrews 6:12 to 14. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, now St. Nikolai. Those who are fed on the milk of spiritual judgment cannot easily differentiate between good and evil. They generally come to the conclusion that all faiths are of equal value, that sin is an indispensable shadow of virtue, and that evil is a necessary companion of good. A true Christian cannot come to these utterly mistaken conclusions, for a true Christian is a mature man who does not feed on milk, who is distrustful of sensuality, who has a finer judgment and makes a finer distinction between the value of the enduring and the transient. To the Christian, surely, clear guidance is given by the revelation of God to distinguish between good and evil. But he has need of long and serious study to reach perfection, to be able to know in every given situation what is good and what is evil. That's from St. Nikolai Vilimirovic, the prologue, January 11th. So, no wonder one Lent is not sufficient for us. Who has not been raised on the milk of spiritual, or sorry, of sensual judgment in our modern society? And that's really quite the norm. We trust our senses. So I then ask the question, what exactly is spiritual judgment? And for help with this question, I turn to St. Theophan the Recluse and his book, The Path of Salvation. And what I'm going to be reading you now are from instructions that St. Theophan is giving to parents for raising their children to be the master of their passions. How many of us wish that we had this handbook for our children, and maybe that our parents had it for us? After you hear this, I think you will agree with me. And I do recommend reading this book if you are parents or considering being parents. It's a really wonderful book to help to guide you in how to raise your children in an Orthodox Christian manner and to support them in being the master of their passions and their senses. Okay, so here's St. Theophan. It is impossible not to use the senses, for it is only through them that one may note the things one must know for the glory of God and for our own good. But in doing this, it is impossible to avoid curiosity, which is an irresistible inclination to see and hear without purpose. What is being done here, how things are there, and blah, blah, blah. So, curiosity consists of trying to know everything without order, without aim, without distinguishing whether it is needful or not. So I'm going to read that again. Curiosity is an irresistible inclination to see and hear without purpose. This was a shocker for me as well, for I thought curiosity was a good thing, though I have heard by different Holy Fathers that they don't agree with that. This really brought it home to me. And here is my first example of how sensual judgment has misled me. Curiosity. Curiosity piques our senses. Curiosity is not a good thing when it is misdirected and unstructured. Curiosity is a distraction, and even the dictionary helps to back this up by its definitions. The first definition from Webster Dictionary for curiosity is a desire to learn and to know. And again, St. Theophan says this desire must be directed and have a purpose, must be directed in a Christian manner. The desire to know what matters, number two is the desire to know about matters of no concern to one, nosiness. And the third definition is something novel or extraordinary that arouses interest. So my thoughts on those definitions, especially the last two, were that they brought to mind gossip and the arousal of my passions in unhealthy ways. And then my husband and I got into discussing this about how pernicious unstructured curiosity is. And here are a few examples of that we thought about in our own experience of how we just get distracted and follow, well, our computers, getting into our computers or our other devices like our cell phones and going from site to site or message to message or to a video game for hours or other games. And what about channel surfing? That's one my husband used to love to do when we watched TV, and watching too much TV. And then when they give previews of like a movie or, you know, the next episode on television in a series that we like, well, that piques our curiosity. And so, interestingly enough, abstaining from TV and too much use of our computers and other devices is something that the church asks us to moderate or abandon during Lent. And for a good reason. Both my husband and I thought of all the time that we've wasted in our life with these distractions, which means that that time could have been given to God and to others we love and for our salvation. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be distracted so that we don't work on our salvation. So let's get back to Saint Theophan. It is only necessary that one should preserve the measure and order in exercising the senses and direct them only to what is needful and to the awareness of what is essential. Then there will be no food for curiosity. Such a method of study will save the child, or in our case, the adult, from distraction. It will train him to master the senses, and through them, the imagination. He will not jump from thing to thing to another without need, nor consequently will he dream and be distracted by images, and thereby give no rest to his soul, muddying it from the ebb and flow of his loose fantasies. And how much of our society is spent in this ebb and flow of our loose fantasies, and how we suffer from distraction during our prayers. I know I do. That's why a lot of people go into Eastern religions, to try and control their mind and their thoughts and all these things that are distracting us. So here Saint Theophan is explaining why. Curiosity leads to imagination and fantasy. I can see how, ever since I've been studying for this podcast, how in prayers that I have memorized, no less, a thought will come along and distract me, and I will follow it. I'm curious about it or attracted by it, and off I go. And 5 minutes later, I ask myself, where have I been? How many wasted moments has curiosity cost me? All right. But it's hard. I mean, it's hard to let go of it. Curiosity is a real stimulus. So back to Saint Theophan. One who is unable to master the senses and the imagination will inevitably be distracted, being overcome by curiosity, which will chase him from one subject to another until he is exhausted, and all this without fruit. What the senses do is to see, to hear, to feel, in general to experience, to test. That is why they are the first arousers of curiosity, which later, because of them, goes over into imagination and memory, and then having acquired a seat in them, becomes an unconquerable tyrant for the soul. Lord, have mercy. So here we are in Great Lent, and it is our opportunity to turn the tables on this so-called tyrant of our soul, our senses. How do we do this? All right, well, so back to Saint Theophan. When a man was in union with God, he found delight in divine and sacred things by the grace of God. After his fall, he lost this taste and thirsted for what is sensual. The grace of baptism has removed this aspect, that part of the fall, but sensuality is again ready to fill our heart. One must not allow this. One must guard the heart. The most effective means for the education of the true taste in the heart is a church-centered life, sympathy for everything sacred, pleasure in remaining in the midst of spiritual, church-given things for the sake of quietness and warmth, separation from what is bright and attractive and worldly vanity. A soul that has been calmed and ordered in this way will not, in accordance with its natural disorderliness, hinder the development of the spirit. This is a person who is committed to having unfailingly in mind not to ignite the passion for sensual enjoyments and to train oneself to deny oneself. Back to me, Veronica. Thus here we have more validation for the need of our fasting times. We are not fasting just from food, but from the indulgence of our senses, curiosity, and imagination. If we want to be that spiritually mature man that St. Nikolai referred to at the beginning of this podcast, who has true spiritual discernment, we need to learn to control the sensual aspect of our fallen nature. Oh, no wonder Lent is so challenging. And I can say that in most of St. Theophan's books, he talks about this sensual aspect, and I have found that very helpful. In conclusion, here is what both St. Theophan and St. Nikolai have to say to encourage us to fight the good fight this Lent. The beginning of a Christian life in a man is a kind of recreation, an endowing of new powers, of new life. This seed of life, the resolution one makes to live a Christian life, is not surrounded by elements favorable to him. And besides this, the whole man, his body and soul, remain unadapted to the new life and unsubmissive to the yoke of Christ. Therefore, from this moment begins in a man a labor of sweat, a labor to educate his whole self, all his faculties, according to the Christian standard. That was St. Theophan. Now back to St. Nikolai to complete what we started on his homily. It's the end of his homily. Let us strive, my brethren, each day and each hour to refine our hearts, that they may be able at all times to differentiate between good and evil. O Lord, thou lover of mankind, warm our hearts with the good that is from thee. Bring us to our senses, Lord, that we may learn to distinguish good from evil. Strengthen us, O Master, that we may always cleave to good and cast away evil, to thy glory and our salvation. To thee be glory and praise forever. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, St. Nikolai and St. Theophan. And just a reminder for those of you that are new to this podcast, or those of you that would like a copy of these quotes, you can go to my blog, which is in my author's website, pearlofgreatpriceorthodox.com. That's pearlofgreatpriceorthodox.com. And there's a navigation button in there for my blog. So my next podcast will focus on inner stillness, taking this to the next step, the fruit of our spiritual labors, and how we can support our inner stillness. How magnified are thy works, O Lord, including you and me. How magnified are thy works, O Lord, including Great Lent. Thank you, dear Lord. And may God bless your Lenten struggles.
You've been listening to Pearls of Great Price with Veronica Hughes. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.